It's Monday, September 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 708, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone got a great show lined up for you. And of course, this show is sponsored also in part by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. Did you guys hear my biggest gaffe ever on show 707? We'll talk about that here in a few moments. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to drop by geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. Our great content writers, all of our bloggers over there are doing a great job putting up a lot of time-specific content and a lot of issues of the day. Some of these issues we're going to talk about later in the show, but make sure you get over to the website, and when you do, get subscribed to the RSS feed over there. That's really the best way to stay abreast of what's going on. Of course, you can find that information out via the second column of the website. You'll find the blog RSS feed, the audio podcast, video podcast, morning tech show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants. Matter of fact, we got an update about Robot Underpants. We'll talk about that a little later here in the show. And of course, the Chrome show. And I've been told from Samsung, my Chromebook is on its way back. So that show will be resuming as soon as the Chromebook arrives here in Hawaii. But got a lot to share with you on the website. Of course, subscribing to the newsletter, you'll find that link at the top of the webpage. We'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. And what do those show notes look like? Well, they look just like what a normal blog posting is for the show. It tells you the title of the show, gives you all the information. Of course, has all of the links to all of the articles that I cover. So that way you can stay abreast while you're listening or watching the show. You can follow along. Or if you don't have time, just go through and review the links that I've done there. I went through and culled the best stories of the last couple of days and primarily the stuff that's popped today for you. Of course, this show is produced every Monday and Thursday night live. It's released every Tuesday and Friday morning. But because I live in Honolulu, the majority of you are just a few hours from waking up. So the content is very, very fresh when you wake up. You can always reach out to the show as well. You can reach me at Geek News on Twitter. Of course, if you want to email me, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can watch us live on the Roku, live as it can be, on the Roku and Boxy, and also on the Samsung Smart TV app, Looky TV, and a variety of other devices. So definitely check us out there if you want to watch this show. And in the comfort of your living room, kick back in your lazy boy with a bowl of popcorn or your laptop on your lap and enjoy the tech show. And we hope that you'll stay subscribed. And thanks for being part of the family here. Of course, all of you that are a longtime listener of the show, you and actually really anyone that joins the show from day one, you're part of the Ohana here. And of course, Ohana is a very, I guess for a better, I don't like to use the word sacred because I don't think the Hawaiians consider it a sacred word, but they do consider it a very deep spiritual word. And it's basically family, meaning family. And it's, you know, family is important to us in English and or Ohana being Hawaiian as well. So, here from the studios, it's a beautiful evening. Been a little bit muggy here. I know you guys are feeling bad for me. It's starting to cool off in some parts of the country, but we're still a steaming 85 degrees here like usual. Beautiful, absolutely been beautiful the past couple of weeks here and as usual. But I want to encourage you as well. I've been putting some stuff in the actual show notes that essentially gets you access to our Ohana store. And our Ohana store really has everything that you're going to need to support the show from a clothing standpoint. We've got t-shirts, sweatshirts. We've got stuff for the ladies. We have mugs. We've got coffee cups. We've got ball caps. We've got water bottles. You know, these water bottles are really cool because don't use plastic anymore. Don't buy your case of water. You know, use a water bottle and refill it. And, you know, if you've got a filter on your tap, that's a great way to do that and saves the environment. And, of course, you can support the show at the same time. Coffee cups as well. You name it. We got a variety of designs, polo shirts. So definitely check it out at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Thanks for Sam out in Albuquerque for taking care of the Ohana store for us. And that's where you can get all your great GNC wear. Okay, let me go through this list here. Yep, we've covered that, and we're good. Of course, we want to take care of a little sponsor business as well. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And really, GoDaddy takes care of us so well that I'm able to pay my light bill, be able to feed my family, and makes this show is able to do what we do because of great sponsors like GoDaddy. And we know that all of you support them. I want to thank you for your continued support, your renewals, your new purchases, turning people onto the products and services, sharing our promo codes where applicable. And really, that's all it's all about. And, you know, we're coming here, and, you know, it's starting to cool off in some parts of the country. I know it's still plenty warm in most places. But as you're rolling into the fall months and when you want to start coming inside a little more than being outside, why don't you consider picking up a hosting account and then starting your own website, starting your own .com, starting your own podcast, whatever it may be. And they got great plans starting at $5.99 a month and all the way up to $14.99 a month. Their ultimate 4GH plan, and what basically 4GH stands for is fourth generation hosting. And this is basically the best in really cloud computing. And you get unlimited websites. You get 1,000 email accounts. Why would you need that many? I would never know. Unlimited MySQL databases, 1 gig each. And to give you an idea, the Geek News Central website here, I've got 10,000 written blog posts on GNC. And my MySQL database is still like 100 megs or something like that with over 10,000 articles in the database or close to 10,000. Plus you get $100 in Google ad credits, $100 in Bing Yahoo ad credits, and you get $50 in Facebook ad credits, plus free premium DNS. And if you use my promo code Todd20, again, if you use that promo code Todd20, when you go over to the website, you're going to save yourself a huge amount of money. You're going to save yourself 20% on that purchase alone. And all you got to do to find that code is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order, $20 or more. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale and ComSale 2, those are pretty cool codes, and only I have them. You get basically $7.99.com renewals, $7.49 on new.com domains. Geek will get you $5 off any order of $30 or more. Aloha, which seems to be the hot one right now, get $20 off any order, $75 or more. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for that link. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Going on, really, we're over 6 years at this point. So we want to thank them for being a longtime sponsor here. I want to talk just a little bit. some of you received show number 707 immediately as soon as it was published. And you emailed me in the morning and I got all kinds of emails. A knucklehead, you screwed up, you bonehead, you blew it. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you that didn't hear it because I went in and edited the file, you guys know I never edit. I edited the audio and video file. I had a great rant. I mean, it was classic, 7 minutes in length. I mean, I was just besides myself. But guess what I did? I got the story completely wrong, and I got two people completely flipped over. Now, HP announced their new CEO, and immediately in my head, I thought that Meg Whitman, who is the new HP CEO, For some reason, I thought she was the gal that had just left Yahoo. Of course, that was not the case. Carol Bartz was the gal that just got fired from Yahoo. So I'm ranting about how HP could be so stupid as to hire this fired CEO from a Yahoo. I'm just going on and on, and I'm going, you know, right over the top of my head. And I have no idea how I got that screwed up so bad and where my brain was at. But I think immediately I saw, okay, fire Yahoo, HP considering this person. And Meg Whitman is not at all in comparison to Carol Bartz. So, you know, okay, I blew it. And it was probably one of the bigger gaffes in 707 shows. But, you know, I had to remove it because it was such a big bonehead mistake. But I wanted to share with you guys here and tell you about it. All I can say is it is what it is. And all I can do is promise to do better. But I woke up and immediately I had probably this many in my email inbox, probably 20 or 25 emails from all of you that had downloaded the show immediately saying, hey, stupid, you got it wrong. I got on Google Plus. There was messages over there. I already had the video published. It was, I mean, YouTube video was up, everything. So anyway. Those of you who got to listen to it, maybe it went right over your head, because maybe because I was going on this tangent, you went along with me and didn't realize as well. But if you listened to it and shook your head, just understand you. Thanks for calling me out. I appreciate it. Hey, just a little update, moving to a new topic here, a little update. Langley, our host of Robot Underpants, he sent me an email this morning basically saying that he basically had given his best college try and the show production was taking too long and a number of other minor issues. So Langley has I guess for a better word, pod-faded. So Robot Underpants, we got through how many episodes? We are up on episode number 20. And this is, you know, pretty typical. And I want to congratulate Langley for giving it a college try here. But we know that doing content is really tough. And that typically I've said for a number of years that if a content creator makes it to show 7, they'll usually make it to show 20. And then really it's after that is anybody's business until they get above 30 or 35. Well, Langley kind of found that spot where basically for him, it didn't make sense to go forward. So I've talked to Langley and he's going to allow me to continue to use the Robot Underpants name, hosted at Geek News Central. And we're now shopping for basically a new host for Robot Underpants. And really Robot Underpants is kind of a one-off show that we want to just talk about stuff going on in the space. It could be social media. It can be whatever really someone out there has an idea for. And we can even do satire, whatever you have an idea. If you have an idea on doing the Robot Underpants show, I'd entertain ideas on where the show should go. I don't want to leave it languishing too long. I want to be able to get it up and running within a couple of weeks. So if you're interested in becoming the host of Robot Underpants and turning it into your own show that basically is hosted here at GNC, definitely send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com and let me know whether or not you want to take over Robot Underpants and the idea that you may have for the show. So I got to talk to Langley a little bit about if we can keep the intro and some other stuff and we can even change it up. So anyway, it can become a facelift. If I don't get and basically someone really that wants to do this and can passionately sign on, I will probably within a couple of weeks take it off the main RSS feed on the website and bring it down. But let me know, and we'll definitely consider it here. Hey, just to give you a quick update, too, on jury duty, I'm still on, and I really can't say anything any more than that, except for I'm still going through a process, and that's all I'm going to say, and maybe I'll have more to share on the Thursday show. Moving on from there, podcast award nominations, we got about 6 days left, or actually 5 days left now. So if you haven't nominated your shows yet, please get over to podcastawards.com. This weekend, we worked heavily here around the house. Honey had me doing lots of honey-do stuff. And I took some pictures of some of the projects we've been working on. I'm getting a little bit of a green thumb, I guess. And I've been really, one of my little pet projects has been chili peppers. And I've been experimenting over the last couple of years with chili pepper plants. And I got one right now that's, man, it's smoking. It's doing a great job. So has anybody out there in the audience ever raised chili peppers before? And I think I've got me a plant now. And I have no idea what variety it is because we've kind of been experimenting here. That comes real close to Thai chilies. Man, the taste is almost dead on. But this thing is producing, I think we've gotten 500 chilies off it so far. But I have no idea how these things ultimately, how big they grow. But I'm having a lot of fun doing that along with some other stuff. And I just basically showed you all the different plants and trees around here in the yard. And you know, Hawaii, I mean, you stick something in the ground and immediately it just explodes. The volcanic rich soil is so rich that it just, man, it's amazing how stuff grows here. Except for sometimes grass can be an issue. But other than that, everything grows good. Guess that's about it. But anyway, those house images and stuff are up on my Facebook page. And if you're following me on Facebook, you can check me out over there. I think I've got a link here for you. Yeah, it's at facebook.com/geeknews. I think that's the actual Geek News page, the show page. It's not my personal page, but you can just search for Todd Cochran on Facebook. And we're going to talk a lot about Facebook here in a few minutes because, boy, oh, boy, the knives have come out since their announcements last week at F8. But anyway, again, if you got comments on tonight's show, you can email me here at or Twitter me at geeknews or geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, let me go ahead and we'll take care of one last piece of business and we'll get into, actually, we'll save that for a little later. Let's do it now and then we'll get into the show. You guys know I've been using HD Faces by GoToMeeting, this new feature with Citrix GoToMeeting online meeting service. Really, it's amazing. And just the webcam, adding the ability to see the person you're meeting with is pretty remarkable. And they have really done an outstanding job here with this, with GoToMeeting and the introduction of this new feature. And really, meeting with colleagues online now is an absolute pleasure because I get to see their reactions, I get to see their grimaces, and we kind of forget sometimes we're on camera and that works to our advantages. But, you know, facial expression can tell you a lot, especially when you're in a meeting with someone. So it's important to be able to have the ability to study that person, especially during sales meetings and so forth. It's really cool. But I want you to give GoToMeeting with HD Faces a try. You know, make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective, and it's easy to use. You know, did something with my kids here recently, and they were actually using it. So it's really, really simple. And all you need is an internet connection and a webcam. And as a listener of this show, I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's going to change the way you work. And you can visit GoToMeeting.com. And let me bring up the website where you're going to go. You're going to go over to GoToMeeting.com. You're going to click on the Try It Free button. And when you get up to this page, what it's really going to do, it's going to ask you for your name. It's going to ask you your email address. And you're going to enter the promo code PODCAST, PODCAST. And it'll get you a 30-day free trial. And make sure you enter the promo code PODCAST on that page because that gives us credit for your trial. Give it a try. We're coming down here to the end of the quarter. And we would appreciate your support and helps us keep sponsors like GoToMeeting on board. And if you've used the product, tried it, and you like it, it's being productive for you, make sure you continue on. And really, it's very inexpensive to use. And it'll save you a lot of money. You don't have to go get in your car on an airplane or something like that. It really is effective. Okay, let me go ahead here. And thanks, GoToMeeting. And again, we'll bounce into the regular content tonight. And I got a stack of stuff. And the first article up is one by John C. Dvorak. And I am not at all familiar with what's going on with this. And I was a little bit surprised to see it. It's called the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And of course, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act has been around since 1986. It's been around a while. But apparently, every year, this act has been, for a better word, kind of enhanced from time to time. Now, I'm going to take this right off his website. He says, imagine that President Obama could order the arrest of anyone who broke a promise on the internet. You can be jailed for lying about your age, weight, on an internet dating site, or you could be sent to federal prison if your boss told you to work, but you use the company's computer to check sports scores online. Now, this seems pretty radical. And what he just says here, and I'm sure this is, you know, a little bit of a stretching the truth, but he said that Congress is now poised to grant the administration wishes in the name of cybersecurity, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, enacted in 1986 to punish computer hacking. Essentially, Congress has broadened the law every few years, and today it extends far beyond hacking. The law now criminalizes computer use that exceeds authorized access to any computer. Today, that violation is a misdemeanor, but the Senate Judiciary Committee is set to meet this morning to vote on making it a felony. Now, what that really means is what they're saying here is that a lot of computer utilization can exceed what's been called authorized access. In other words, if your boss tells you at work, you're not allowed to go surfing off and do something, or you go to a website and there's a clause in there about authorized access and user account information, you put the wrong information in, you could be up for a felony. Now, okay, Dvorak's always a little bit, he teams up with Adam and, you know, they get into these topics but, you know, this is his story and Buzzkill is really on a roll with this one here. But it makes you go, just a little bit. There's some amendments that are up and he's actually put a post up. Here's the latest. Now, what's the latest? Now, they posted this today and they did pass apparently three data security bills. So I have the link up in the show notes for that as well. So he updated this between the time that I initially loaded the page and when I run the show. But I have this loaded up for you tonight. You can check it out. And I just doubt. I think he's a little over the top here. The president's not going to arrest anyone that if you lie about your age or weight on the internet. Please give me a break. If that was the case, everyone would be going to jail. Let's talk a little bit here about a planned event by the Austin Police Department. Apparently, Austin police plan then postpone war driving plans and attempt to shut down open Wi-Fi. This is an article over on techdirt.com. Apparently, the Austin Police Department was planning a war drive looking for open Wi-Fi networks with the plan to try to find the owner and tell them to lock up their Wi-Fi. Now, here's the question. It's not illegal to have an open Wi-Fi connection. Now, you know, it's probably not advisable, but it's not illegal. It's perfectly legal to do so. You know, one can tell you to lock up your Wi-Fi. At least, I don't think there's any ordinances in the United States requires you to do that. If someone knows of one, please tell me. But, so should the police really be going around and telling people to lock up their Wi-Fi? Now, they canceled this for some reason. Now, I don't know if it was because they were asked questions or if someone thought, maybe this is not such a good idea. So time will tell on this. But Austin's a pretty progressive city when it comes to technology. So it strikes me as a little odd. And knowing how Texas homeowners are, the police better come to the door in their uniform because a lot of people are packing heat in Texas. And you don't tell someone in Texas to tell them what to do on their own private property. It doesn't go over too well. there's all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, Austin police, that's what they had planned to do, but has postponed it. Okay, in the most interesting story, I think, of the day, and it shows you where our government has headed, and this is specifically about the Protect IP debate. The Senate is debating the Protect IP bill, and they allowed the Copyright Alliance, which is a lobbying group, funded by a bunch of big legacy copyright companies. Now, in other words, anyone that wants to make sure stuff stays under copyright for a very long time, those stakeholders are part of this copyright alliance, the Senate allowed them to set up an educational display in the Senate Russell Building Rotunda. Now, this isn't in the actual, this is in the Senate Russell Building. This is the Annex Building. But they were able to set up this educational display to help influence the vote of congressional leaders. The exhibit is an opportunity to showcase for lawmakers and visitors to the U.S. Capitol Complex the importance of copyright. Again, they say U.S. Capitol Complex, not the U.S. Capitol, to creators across America by focusing on people behind the lens, sharing stories about images, and helping viewers understand the investment and commitment made by photographers capturing our nation's many stories. Now, I agree with Tech Dirt in saying, I'm curious if the Senate allows other totally biased parties to set exhibits like that during debate on other bills. I wonder if pharmaceutical companies are allowed to come in and show their drug plans. What about educational stuff for ARP? You name it. There's a whole slew of companies or groups that lobby the Senate. And I wonder if the banks are allowed to set up Bank of America and those types of displays there to show how good the banks are for America as well. Heck, what about Wall Street? Bring in the investment bankers, and have them set up demos on why specific parts of a bill are good or bad for the country. Makes you really wonder. There's this line, we all, whatever side of the fence you're on, if you're on the right or left or in the middle or an independent or whatever it may be, I think we all can agree that there's no room, at least I feel, there's no room for lobbyists to exhibit, to set up a table and exhibit to lawmakers the importance of copyright. This is like a lot. Do I pay $50 to go in and set up my table? Or what do I have to do, make a $50,000 contribution to someone's reelection campaign? All of us should really sit back and go, on this one in a big way. Let me go in there and set up a new media table where we talk about the importance of new media and, equal access to cable channels and all that stuff. Hey, maybe I should do that, right? But if this bothers you, I recommend that you drop an email or comment to your senator. Again, this happened in the Senate Russell Building, Senate Russell Building Rotunda. And boy, oh boy. Or send the copyrightallegiance.org an email. Let them know your dissatisfaction with what they have done and their special preferential treatment on this. All right, I know this is not super... I want to talk about this for a second because it kind of leads into the next topic here. Just recently, the president was out on the West Coast, and I know this is, let's not get too political, but I want to talk about this. The president was out on the West Coast doing a campaign stop, and he was doing raising money for his reelection, which is cool. All presidents in the past have done this. They were out with Facebook, and they get at Mark Zuckerberg's home or something like that. But today it was announced that Facebook is going to form its own PAC to back political candidates. How many companies like this? And I guess I don't know this PAC process too well, and I'm really not up to speed, but how many does Google have a PAC? Does Microsoft have its own political action committee? Seems pretty odd that they're doing this. And Facebook confirmed it filed paperwork on Monday to start its own political action committee. Facebook PAC will give our employees a way to make their own voices heard in the political process by supporting candidates who share our goals of promoting the value of innovation of our economy while giving the people the power to share and make the world more open and connected, said a spokesman via email. You know something? I'll be honest with you. Raw voice. Politics stay at home. Politics don't come into office discussions. Politics don't go into corporate planning. What our employees do and the candidates they support are their business alone. You know, for a company, you know, we are a service company. We do we provide services to new media creators on both sides of the fence, both right and left. And I don't care if you which party you support or whatever, but it just seems odd to me that if you are a company like Facebook, who have 500 million people logging into your website every day, if you start supporting a specific political party, don't you think, now they don't say who they're supporting. They're saying they're supporting companies that are or candidates that share goals of promoting innovation to our economy. So, you know, read it as you must. But what would you do as a Facebook user if all of a sudden you found out that their PAC was supporting an opposite party? Is that bad for business? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, Facebook has spent a lot of money in lobbying. They did $550,000 in fiscal 2011. And really, you know, for a company their size, it's probably not a big amount of money. But it doesn't really, I don't understand this. You know, why they, it just to me, it boggles my mind that Facebook would do this just from a pure point of you want to keep all of your users happy. You don't want to be out there saying, I support candidate X. Do you? Do you really want that? And now, if you support that candidate, maybe. But I don't get it. Now, whether they support Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter. Whoever you support, you are going to literally piss off 50% of the other people or make people go, hmm, you know. So it just seems odd to me. Do you guys think this is odd? You know, what are two things that you're, you know, you're like, or there's actually three things in the workplace you don't talk about. Politics, sex, and religion. You just leave, those are like topics or you just, you know, you leave those at home. You leave that topics at home. You don't bring that to the workplace. And, you know, you try to stay neutral, keep everyone happy because everyone has different views and, you know, welcome to have people have different views and thoughts and processes. That's what makes this country great. But I just don't understand why Facebook would start a PAC. Maybe this is the thing. Maybe all these companies have them and it's the first I've ever seen it. I don't know. It just strikes me wrong. And along that same line, Chelsea Clinton has joined the IAC board. I'm like, well, what's up with that? She got on a board of directors. But I guess, and I don't know of anything about this group. It's the Interactive Corp. So I have no idea what this is. But as peons down here, I guess we're very interesting. But Chelsea Clinton was joined the IEC board, whatever they do. I don't know. All right, let's move away from this topic. It's inflammatory. You all get pissed off. All right, DirecTV admits almost no one wants to pay $30 to watch movies at home. You remember DirecTV had introduced where you could watch Zero Day. In other words, as soon as the movie came out in the movie theaters, it's available on DirecTV. And almost no one was willing to pay the $30 price to watch it at home. And there's been very little uptake and flat out admits the price is too high. And not to be surprised. So we don't know if they're going to rework this. But, you know, the studios forced this price upon DirecTV because, you know, they are afraid of destroying the what business is left for the movie theaters. You know, if you're going to take four or five kids to the movies, $30 is pretty cheap. But if it's just you and the wife going, well, it depends. Some of these places are pretty high. I think we last movie I went to, I paid $12 or something for a ticket. So a couple of tickets and you're right there near 30 plus popcorn, you're at $30. So, you know, I guess maybe the price was right if you really want to be. But I don't have DirecTV. And I think if I saw $30 on the pay-per-view button, And my wife was looking at me. She'd say, we can wait 2 months or whatever it is for the video to come out. So anyway, that little information coming out of DirecTV. I've talked about this in the past, but there's a lot more scrutiny being put upon colleges now to make more online courses available. And The Atlantic has a story about the slow pace of technology innovation in higher education, and basically highlighting the reluctance of most universities to take part of their curriculums online because colleges, most colleges, it's a big business. Business with a B. Profit. It has to be a profitable business. And, you know, you don't make a lot of money by students staying at home, not coming on and using the university campus and staying in dorms and buying food and being stuck in a, you know, this ecosystem that they build upon themselves. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, the education, college education is. And so it's understandable why most universities are not willing to move most of their curriculum online. Now, I was lucky that my alma mater, Emory-Riddle University, I took all of my classes online. And believe me, it's harder to take classes online than anywhere else. It's easier to be in a classroom because it's much tougher. But I would love to be able to let my kids take like their first year of classes kind of online, save that money, then basically maybe year two, three, and four, they go off and do the thing, get all those basic 101 classes out of the way, the stuff that's a pain in the butt, but you got to have, you know, let them take that online and then go off to a university where we're, and plus it gives them a year to mature so they're not partying so hard while they're at school, you hope. But anyway, how many of you seen your colleges move any of their more of their curriculum online? Love to hear back from you, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, this article, you know, I'm probably going to go way long tonight. I got to talk about Facebook here a little more. The folks over at readwriteweb.com, and this, I mean, I've got like five articles linked to just this specific story, and everyone brings up great points, and it really what fired it off was a couple of comments and a couple of websites that talked about Facebook's basically what they've introduced. And essentially, here's the gist of it. You log out of Facebook, okay? You log off, and you go cruise over to some website. Let's say I come over to ReadWriteWeb. If they have their app stuff implemented correctly on their website, and I've opted in with the app for ReadWriteWeb, just as soon as I get to the webpage and I read this article on the webpage, it sends a post, even though I'm not logged in, it sends a post back to Facebook saying, hey, Todd's reading this this article about reading in Facebook. And it basically lets you know I'm over here on this webpage. Even though I'm logged out of Facebook, it's basically calling home to mama and saying, hey, Todd's over here on readwriteweb.com in this specific page. Come check it out. Now, you can opt out. You have to be very careful about what you're opting in for. And you don't have to have them send this data back. But there has been information that they have pulled out of Cookie Set. And Dave Weiner brings this up. He says that basically you could be reading a web page on an adult site. You could be reading something about divorce. You could be reading something about health-related issues. You could be reading stuff on, this is stuff maybe you're not want advertised that you're on these websites. Maybe you're, whatever it may be. You know, those Google searches you do when you're digging around for info. You don't want, you know, you're kind of looking for stuff. You don't want something maybe personal. And it's poing, poing, poing. It potentially could be telling everyone on Facebook, hey, Todd's over reading, checking out divorce lawyers. Or he's over looking at a health site about, you know, by his CPAP machine or whatever it may be, sleep apnea or something even, you know, more medically challenging. And privacy is over, folks. And we have to be careful here about what we're authorizing Facebook to post when we're out of this. And this is scary because now, even when you're logged out of Facebook, information about your Facebook account is in your computer, tying it back to you. Facebook has defended getting data from logged out users. Facebook defended its practice of gathering data from like buttons even after users have logged out, saying that the collection, they use the word collection, is part of a system to prevent improper logins and that information is quickly deleted. By who? Who's deleting it? Facebook's deleting it? Is it going into a log file? Wall Street Journal says, even if you're logged out, Facebook still knows and can track every page you visit. Here's how the Facebook data collection works. When you log into Facebook or visit Facebook.com without logging in, the site places small files code cookies on your computer. Some of these cookies remain on your computer even after you log out. And then whenever you visit a site that connects to Facebook, such as those with a like button, information from those cookies is sent back to Facebook, providing a record of where you've been on the web. Facebook says the onus is on us to take care of the data and scrub it. Trust us. Trust us. We're going to scrub the data. We're not going to go see the adult sites you've been to. We're not going to talk about the STD sites you went to find out how to get cured for something. We're not going to talk about your health problems. We're not going to share information about your personal life and looking for a divorce lawyer or whatever it may be. Something has to give. And services like Spotify, and I'm going to talk about Spotify in detail because I had signed up for a Spotify account, which I canceled this morning. Here's why. Every time I was listening to music on Spotify, to log into Spotify, I had to log in via Facebook. Couldn't use my geeknews@gmail.com and the password I set up. Oh no, I have to use my Facebook login to log in. And it, every time I play a Spotify tune, it sends calls home to mama and sends data to Facebook. Do you care if I'm listening to AC/DC? Do you care if I'm playing a little Boston Live? Do you guys care if I'm playing a little Queen? Well, you might know that I like listening to a little rock and some rock from the early 80s per se. But do I want this on Facebook? No. But when I signed up for it, the only way that Spotify sent me through, they sent me to Facebook to authorize the app and come back. It wasn't part of the thing. It was like an add-on. Spotify has said, according to Spotify, most of its users are already on the social network. Plus, the services uses Facebook on the back end for its social features, so it made sense to integrate the logins. Rest assured, you don't have to connect your account to Facebook unless you want to, and users still control what they share and don't share in their timelines. We understand why the move doesn't throw everyone out there, but we're okay having one less username and password to remember. Change can be a good thing, you know. Huh? I'm sorry. Integration to Facebook like that and the information that they are gathering and this timeline thing where they want you to put your entire life history on the website? Susabel sums it up. Facebook's most recent changes are a big problem for many. I'm frustrated by their attempts to control what I see and how I see it as much as the next guy. I don't particularly want Facebook to decide what my top stars are, and the move of the home button to the upper and right-hand corner of the content means I have to scroll to the right in order to get back to the top of the site. I feel far more threatened with Facebook's upcoming changes than I have with Google's attempts to be everything to everyone. Facebook is moving in a frightening direction. Soon, if you visit a webpage, listen to some music, watch a video, buy a book, the information will be posted to your Facebook account. And she says, of course, this is all good for Facebook. They can begin to target advertising to you and to your friends based on all of your activities. And honestly, is this something we want? The forthcoming changes are not just annoying, they could be dangerous. She said, I'm still in a wait-and-see mode and still sitting on the fence attitude, but Facebook may have just numbered its days with me. I don't think I can trust my information with them much longer, which is a sad, sad thing. It was such a perfect thing before they started messing with it. Do you guys think, are you guys freaking out as much as I am? This calling home to mama? You know, when we had a podcasting company that actually put information inside that you would subscribe to a podcast and it would put some software into iTunes so that every time you played a person's podcast, it would call home to that podcasting company and say, Johnny's listening to that podcast. People were outraged. They screamed bloody murder. We talked about it on this show. People were outraged, but I hear very few people even concerned in the slightest about this. Facebook, we do track logged out users. They said this, but trust us. Wow. Please tell me I'm off the chart here. I really want to, someone tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me, excuse me, that this is a bad dream. Here I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories on this, 7 stories tonight, just on this. You don't think people are worried? Geeknews@gmail.com, 619-342-7365. Speak out. I want to hear from you. I really do on this. Call in. Tell me what you think. Email me. Tell me if I'm crazy. Tell me if you're worried. Imagine the embarrassment. You go over to adult website. You check something out, and all of a sudden it's posted on your Facebook page. You go to a medical site, you're looking for information, and it calls home to mom and tells you're over there looking at some medical information. Wow. All right, I'm going to switch gears here, and I'm going to go into a little more happy mode. Sprint has said they're going to keep unlimited data plans. And I don't completely understand here. Last show, we were talking about them limiting data plans. But if you've got any fears about the carrier getting rid of unlimited data plans, you've got nothing to worry about. At least that's what Sprint's chief technology officer, Stephen Bye, said when he addressed the crowd at GigaOhm's Mobile Life Conference in San Francisco today. According to Stephen Bye, there's a price to pay in order to support unlimited data plans, but not every unlimited subscriber uses as much data as the next guy. He also emphasized about the simplicity of supporting unlimited data plans, not to mention there won't be any hidden costs that customers will deal with when using tiered data plans. Sprint engineers are working under pressure to get the cost structure down in order for the carrier to keep its unlimited data plans around. So let's see if they can keep this strategy. And I would be willing to pay more, Sprint, for my data plan to be unlimited. But I have noticed you were slowing down on the EVDO front, especially 3G has been slowing down. I got a very serious article here about SSL certificates. We talked about it in the last show. There is some security issues with SSL certificates and specifically what type of encryption you're using. There is a hack out. This is going to make for major news for weeks to come as companies update it, both Google, Microsoft, and Sprint. Excuse me. Google, Microsoft, and Firefox have noticed, said that they have issues, they have concerns, and an advisory was issued by Microsoft as well. And Google is basically making a move here to tell people to implement an RC4 cipher, and Windows is putting together a patch Mozilla is made available a public 3-month discussion about the vulnerability and the best way to fix it without breaking huge numbers of websites. And the exploit isn't easy to pull off, but believe me, all the Russians that and all the hackers out there, they're trying to exploit people for money. This is not going to be hard for them to implement. So there's going to have to be a lot of people making some quick moves to get their websites more secure. Google Plus traffic went up 1,269% last week when they opened it up to everyone. So congratulations to Google. And I heard there was like 50 million people that signed up, which is amazing. So we'll keep you advised on that. Those of you that have used Instagram, I haven't used it, but apparently version 2.0, people are really raving about it. And they've zoomed past 10 million users. So if you have an upgrade to Instagram 2.0, please do so. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I haven't used it before, so I'm going to see what all the fuss is about. But anyway, Instagram has been upgraded. That was an article over on TechCrunch. Of course, GigaOm had their big mobile conference, and boy, lots and lots of great content out of GigaOm today. So this is just a great day, or today was a great day just to read the GigaOm website, and I encourage you to go over there. Just tons and tons and tons of stuff here. And why do we got to slow down here? Let me talk just a little bit about some articles that they post up. They talked about the carrier's voice gravy train is over and how basically everything is moving to, oh, this is not good. Did Chrome just crash? Yeah, yes, it did. Okay, so the program is going to be terminated. Good. Oh, boy. Okay, I think I can recover here. Let me see here. Let me close you. And yes, I'm still going to be able to run this. Just no, there's not going to be any flash. Gosh, you know, come on, Chrome. Don't do this to me. And if I close the browser, then we got to wait for it to completely load. So I'm not going to do that, but we can live without flash to the end of the show. So anyway, basically, they're saying that this is a voice business for the mobile networks is similar to owning a record store because with Apple and Microsoft and all these other companies coming out with voice over IP type solutions and alternate applications, that at some point here in the near future, basically what's going to happen, that voice as we know it is going to really change and we may not be calling on our phones anymore. And texting can be changing as well. Another topic that I had was talking about next-gen mobile apps require new bandwidth options. And basically, they're saying, hey, the carriers have to realize that, you know, we talked about this here a number of times on how if the carriers don't come up with another plan, come up with something alternative for us. You've got these 4G mobile apps, and I'm hearing people are on 4G that are using any semblance of utilization are killing their 5 gigs of bandwidth in 4 to 5 days. And that people are becoming very frustrated with their 4G connection. They give people all this bandwidth. They have this nice speed to utilize. They're watching videos and movies and streaming stuff. And guess what? Boom, they're out of bandwidth in 4 or 5 days. And they're saying here, in order for 4G mobile apps to really take off, service providers are going to have to bundle the requisite bandwidth with the apps to promote widespread adoption. So this is, I think, you know, we all predicted this, but, you know, the providers don't care. They want us, they're just going to try to rape us with more and more expensive connections. And one thing I think that was cool that they said in here, cost-conscious consumers won't stick with glitzy new apps if the cost is an arm and a leg to access them. As if consumers get whacked by huge cell bills, they'll get confused, and confused customers aren't good for anyone. And when it comes to smartphones, apps are where it's at. So one of the VPs of network development from Sprint said that agreed that bandwidth availability is critical, and they understand the challenges with it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this builds out. I think what it means is they're just going to have to come up with some new tower solutions. and tying more of those to backbones. You know, maybe like coming over to Todd's house and saying, hey, Todd, we'll give you $100 a month if you put a little cell tower repeater, a little mini one that's on a stick or something in your yard, and we can hook it up to an internet connection we'll bring into your house. And you know, that's how they're going to have to do this. We're going to have to put up more towers and, you know, have more backhaul. Now, we've talked about near-field communication quite a bit here in the show, and I think this is a COO who has lost his mind, but the CEO of mobile payment startup Square, remember this is the guys that are selling the little swipe card deals, which are doing just an amazing amount of business right now. He makes he blows me away. He says, near-field communications has no value proposition for consumers and merchants. Keith Rabus needs to get on an airplane and go to Japan and see how near-field communications is being used to buy products and services. You can go to a Coke machine, put your phone up against it and get a Coke. You can go to a beer machine, put your phone up against it and get a beer. Yes, they still have cigarette machines in Japan. You can go to a cigarette machine in Japan, put your phone up to it and get a pack of cigarettes. You can go to the convenience store and buy like a 7-Eleven style type thing. Buy some groceries and put your phone up against it and pay for it with your phone, not with a credit card. And this is no added value for consumers? Is he crazy? He questions how useful the tech will be to consumers and business. Oh, man. A PR guy to the end. Oh, amazing. All right, on a more techie front, NASA to trial laser-powered space broadband. Basically, they're going to embed data in a laser and move data at 100 megs per second, which is pretty cool. They funded this. They're going to be doing a test between Hawaii, a satellite, and California. And over a three-year period, they're going to be transmitting data back and forth and see how it works with ground stations and focus and all that stuff. So it should be pretty cool. We'll see where this goes. And who knows? We'll be able to send data back from Mars via laser. Makes sense. The question is, how powerful of a laser do you need to basically call home to mama from Mars? I would think a pretty powerful one. And what would be the power requirements on that? If you're going to be flying a remote control helicopter, you better know how to fly it, especially if you're going to be attempting to smuggle cell phones into a prison. Apparently in Thailand, how much money was it? 3 million Thai baht. So you divide 3 million baht by 40. That gives you the dollar amount. What would that be? About $320,000. Because that would be 10. So divide that. Yeah. So a huge number of cell phones, SIM cards, all kinds of stuff. They tried to helicopter it in with a remote control helicopter, but they crashed. So obviously the prison authorities were able to recover this. So if you're going to have someone do some smuggling, make sure they've actually got some on-time experience with the remote-controlled helicopter. I was going to show you this cool Vizio, this new stealth cruise missile that Norway is buying. I think they are buying it from the United States, but they got a pretty cool video here, and I'll link it up in the show notes for those of you who want to check it out. I don't know why they released this. I guess it's part of a publicity thing. But anyway, it's a joint thing with the United States and Norway. I have the link up in the show notes. Also, Apple has been denied their multi-touch trademark. This is good. So you know how when you squeeze something on the iPad or on the iPhone or on the iTouch, how that changes the screen? But they've denied Apple the multi-touch trademark. I don't know if it means someone else holds the trademark already. But that's good. It's nice to see patents denied from time to time. It keeps the litigation down. For those of you who aren't following the website, Michael Arrington's back at uncrunched.com no longer techcrunch.com, but uncrunched.com. So pretty hilarious that he was able to obtain that. But he's going to be writing about what he used to write about at TechCrunch, but on a non-paid basis. Susan Bell has a great article about a municipal broadband fight in Longmont, Colorado. And I'm not going to go into too much details here, but she's basically in the middle of a battle zone where the local municipality there wants to bring in internet to the city. And basically the Comcast of the world are trying to stop it from happening. And they had a ballot initiative a couple of years ago that was defeated when Comcast basically spent about $250,000 to campaign against the municipal broadband. So we're hoping that if you guys live in Colorado or live close to Longmont or have relatives in Longmont, that you'll be telling them to vote for the initiative so that the local municipality can bring you in cheaper broadband internet, okay? And believe me, the ones I've seen have always been cheaper and caused competition with the local Comcast of the world. We talked about OnStar, basically tracking people even though their subscriptions had canceled if they did not opt out. But Senator Chuck Schumer has blasted OnStar for this brazen privacy violation. He's called on the FTC to investigate. So this is a good call by the senator. And hopefully the FTC will come out and say, hey, OnStar, you can't do that. You're going to have to let people opt in versus opt out. Google today announced the making available the Dead Sea Scrolls online. And basically, it's taken 24 centuries and the work of archaeologists, scholars, and historians, and in conjunction with Google. So now today, you can go on and review the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's basically, it was a project cooperation between the Israel Museum in Jerusalem and Google. And you basically can take the scripts and you can highlight it and it will actually translate it. And so this is pretty cool how they're going to basically just highlight the area in the scroll that you want translated. And it tells you what chapter, which verse, and it gives you as close as they can on an English translation. So very cool stuff here. So I know some of you will be very interested and want to go look at that. You know, this is huge because very few people have actually been able to look at these, let alone study them. So here we've got the ability now to see one of the greatest finds to be able to be reviewed by anyone. So this is very cool. And of course, this is the oldest. For those of you that are not familiar, the Dead Sea Scrolls include the oldest known biblical manuscripts in existence. And they were basically hidden in 11 caves in a Judean desert on the shores of the Dead Sea to protect them from the approaching Roman armies. And they weren't discovered until 1947. So very cool stuff. I have a link up in the show notes for you. T-Mobile, 90% of 2011 2011 smartphone sales were Android. And basically T-Mobile saying, hey, you want to move some phones, some iPhones, you're going to have to make them available here. But it doesn't appear that T-Mobile is going to get the iPhone next month. Only Sprint will. So we'll see where this leads us. But T-Mobile will be the only carrier left without the iPhone. Big carrier. All right, the Kindle Fire tablet is supposed to be on tap for a Wednesday release. Basic announcement is supposed to ship in November. Apparently, it's going to look and feel a lot like the RIM notebook. And the same company that built the RIM notebook apparently is building this one for Kindle. Though that this may be a little bit underpowered. They weren't able to get the processor they wanted. They had to take one step down. So we'll see what the specs are on Wednesday. We'll talk about it on Thursday's show. But I'll be honest with you. If Amazon is able to make the Kindle available for around a $250 mark, and the bandwidth is included for buying stuff on Amazon, and they have some sort of an optional data plan that you can buy as you go, I think they'll have a winner on their times. We'll see. But apparently as well, it is related to this, the Barnes & Noble engineers are toiling away on their own Nook Color 2, and this could be coming at around the same time as the Amazon Kindle Fire. And Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7 has hit the FCC. Of course, this is the same tablet that got shut down in Germany. So hopefully that makes the American market without any lawsuits. And Android in the last quarter, so basically powered 56% of smartphones sold. So you can tell there's a huge marketplace for the Android phones out there as well. In October, we're going to see a big meteorite shower. NASA and satellite owners a little bit concerned. This is kind of like an annual event that happens. If you get a chance when these meteorite showers happen, if you can find yourself a nice dark place, it's an amazing spectacle to watch. It really, really is. Got some cool pictures of Uranus. And these are 13 different pictures that were posted by the folks over at space.com. Boy, oh boy, I'm never going to get through everything tonight that I had for you. Let me bust that one out. We'll leave that one out. Leave that one out. Those aren't important. Neither is that one. Here's one for you. 98% of BitTorrent users and copyright shakedown filed in wrong jurisdiction. So you guys know that the there was a big lawsuit that was done by a group called Dunlap, Grubb, and Weaver. This was AKA the United States Copyright Group, the USCG. Remember, it sounds like this official copyright group, but they had been shut down on their lawsuits that they had filed in the basically in the wrong jurisdiction. Well, apparently the U.S. Copyright Group is going to a different court and trying it again. They're going to the District of Columbia and they're filing, I guess, the same exact lawsuits again, 4,165 IP addresses. The folks over at torrentfreak.com did some tracking of those IPs and found that just 2% of those were located actually in the District of Columbia. The biggest group of IP addresses were California and Maryland, and that the District of Columbia represented just 0.4% of the total number of IPs that they're trying to get lawsuits on. So basically, if you can't try in one court, you go try in another. So not surprising that these folks are judge shopping. Last Friday, the Blockbuster announced their new service. And from everything we can tell, it's really not a quickster killer at all, at least not yet. So we'll see what happens with this. But if you are a Blockbuster fan, you're going to be able to get their DVD service by mail and streaming service, okay? And $10 per month. And you can only get one disc at a time. So that, and I guess they have about 3,400 movies and TV shows available via stream. So we'll see where this goes, okay? Another topic here is that along with the streaming service, Netflix has basically scored a deal with DreamWorks and basically outbid them for content from HBO. So in 2013, you're going to start seeing DreamWorks movies available on Netflix versus HBO. Amazon has basically going after Netflix as well. They've added 2,000 Fox streaming channels or streaming titles, and these are some of the same titles that Netflix already has. But Netflix is, Amazon is adding these to their library to make them more competitive. So if you've got the Amazon streaming service, about 2,000 more titles are going to be available in a deal with Fox. And that gives their total number of streaming titles in their Prime library up to about 11,000, more than double the number that launched with in February. So you're going to see TV shows such as 24, Arrested Development, The X-Files, Ally McBeal, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Wonder Years. I guess they've got that one exclusive. I don't know who's really watching that particular movie, old television show or not. But anyway, that's what's going to be available through their Prime Instant Video that Amazon makes available. Last couple of articles here. There's a Mac Trojan pretending to be a Flash player. So if you get this announcement that your Flash player needs to be updated, please be careful and make sure it's the right one. And the malware in question is a Trojan horse called Flashback. And users may end up acquiring it by clicking on a malicious website to download or install a Flash media player. So be aware of that out there. And I got a couple of generators I have linked up in the show notes for you at the end of the show notes that I won't cover here at the show. So anyway, what I've got for you before we close up shop today is I have a couple of emails that came in from listeners. And I felt rushed tonight. Sorry, guys. I spent a long time on the articles from Facebook, but I just thought it was worth taking the time to talk about that. Got an email here from Jim. He says, "Hey, Todd, amazing video. Planets viewed from Earth as if they were at the distance of our moon. Amazing video." So I have that link up in the show notes from Jim. Got an email from Andrew. He said, "Hey, Todd, I hope this is all well. This is amazing time-lapse video of a guy growing hair." And I'm going to tell you something, Andrew. I watched the video, and did you know that was only 9 months worth of hair growth? Gosh, it must be great to be young and be able to grow hair that quick. When you guys see this video, you would think it would have taken this guy like 5 years to grow his hair to the length that he grew it to. But just check the video out. I think you'll enjoy it. Got an email here from Ryan. He says, "Hey, Todd, my name is Ryan, and I publish a college football website that covers the USC Trojans. He says, I started a Ustream show a year or so ago, and I'm looking to take it to the next level. I was considering buying a TriCaster studio box, but being a former electrical engineer, it's hard to buy older technology when I know there are newer and cooler stuff out there." He says, "I saw that you have a TriCaster 850, and I was having a hard time finding out what that does that the much cheaper studio box doesn't have besides HD. So I also tape a podcast, link below, but I've not tried to do that live yet. Maybe someday. Anyway, thanks for this. And the studio looks amazing. Ryan at uscfootball.com. Well, Ryan, here's the story. If you go over to newtech.com, and they have a comparison page where they show you all the different models. And of course, they just came out with the TCXD 450 as well. It's a four channel version instead of an 8, which is cheaper. The Extreme is obviously, and I have a regular one. I don't have an Extreme. That's an extra $13,000 roughly. But essentially what you get with the HD, number one, HD. That's a big part of it. Number two, they've got the integrated streaming service. You've got the ability to record everything in 1080i. You've got the new virtual sets. There's just a whole bunch of features that are available. Some of the stuff I don't even use when we're doing the studio here. But it is an amazing box. And I had a studio before. And if you're just worried about doing SD in 16.9, don't worry about it. It'll serve you well, and you'll save the money. My good friend Andy McCaskey over at RVNN.TV, he got my studio. And so, if you want to send him an email and ask him about his, you can. It's going to set you back some serious bucks, that's for sure, any way you go. Matter of fact, check with Andy. He may have a used studio he might be willing to sell you as well. So, again, RVNN.TV. Okay, got an email here from, let's go look at the date on this. Make sure I'm not going back too far. Yeah, I got to go. Okay. So I got an email from Frank. It says, "Knowing your interest in science, I thought you might find this article from the Science 2.0 website interesting." He says, an excerpt from the article, and it's talking about the neutrinos. He says, actually, and this is about the neutrinos that were traveling faster than the speed of light, supposedly. He says, "Exactly the same holds true with the OPERA experiments. These folks must have made some systematic error in their measurement. We know space-time trigonometry all too well to believe anything else, and we're certainly not going to throw the whole machinery of space-time trigonometry out the window because of one single anomalous speed measurement. The OPERA paper submitted 2 days ago itself is very open, explicit on this point, and mentions that more work is required in order to investigate possible still unknown systematic effects that could explain the observed anomaly." So I have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Frank. That's a good one. I'm going to email here from Eric. I missed this on the last show. He said, "I did a blog on subsidized Android tablets in Japan," and I have that link up in the show notes for that. And that's all we got for emails on the last show. No voicemails came in. And again, if you have comments on today's show, you can Twitter me at Geek News. Follow me on Google Plus. You can just put in there Todd Cochran. You'll find me. Or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, our voicemail hotline is open for your listener comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at area code 619-342-7365. So I thank everyone for being patient with me today. And thanks for letting me have a huge gaffe on the last show. We'll try not to do that again. Just human, not perfect. But it was one of those few times I actually went back and edited the show and replaced it. I know some of you got the show and probably laughed. But thanks for being here and being part of the family. And lots to think about from today's show. And I hope you'll go back and review the show notes and go through and read each of the articles, specifically on Facebook. And do you care? Are you worried? Or is it just a sign of the times? And send me your comments. Again, I want to thank you for hanging out with me here. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. And of course, don't forget that we are available on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Looky TV, and of course, all devices across the space via the RSS feed. If you subscribe at geeknewscentral.com, you get via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or your favorite podcatcher. It's been my pleasure. Thanks to our sponsors, GoDaddy and Citrix GoToMeeting, for being here and being a sponsor of the show. Until next time, everyone take care. And from Honolulu, Hawaii, aloha.